from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Vinny and Haiti, put your headphones in and ignore your coworkers. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster. Here with Vinny Serrato, Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. Joining us now from Locked On Ravens podcast, also writes for Ravens Wire, is Kevin Ostreicher. What's going on, Kevin?
What's going on? Yeah, we got the Ravens' first preseason game in the books. I think we learned a lot of things about this team. Obviously, two more to go. And more opportunities for guys to earn roster spots, win positional battles. But I think a solid first preseason game overall, despite the crazy loss that happened.
Kevin, yeah. What were the biggest things you learned, positively and negatively?
I think the Ravens found exactly what they were looking for in Nate Wiggins, first of all. I think, in my opinion, he did what he was supposed to do. They didn't have A.J. Brown out there. They didn't have Devonta Smith out there. I think if he didn't have the performance he had, there'd be a little concern because he's not going up against the ones, but he's somebody that used his speed very well. They had a couple of moments that were teachable. Obviously on that touchdown, he didn't cover the flat well, and that was on him. But he learned about that later in the game on that play where he got injured, and so those are learning processes. And I think to me as well, on the offensive line, I think we might have learned Daniel Falele is not going to play guard for this team this season and might have to be somebody else. I think we learned Andrew Voorhees will, although I think everybody already knew that. And then just other guys stepping up. I thought Sanusi Kane had a good game. I thought Josh Ross had a good game. Some of these guys that might not be the stars of the defense or have major, major roles, but could play on special teams. And the kickoff rule is still a work in progress for everybody involved. And I think, too, the backup quarterback position might be one that we have to take a little bit more of a look at and stuff that I know we've talked about before and just, you know, what could they do there? Is Josh Johnson the guy? So plenty of takeaways for sure.
Kevin, you brought up the offensive line. And initially, John Harbaugh said he wanted to have it figured out by kind of this time. He wanted one preseason game and thought he'd have it figured out for the most part. He's kind of walked that back, and now he's looking at the end of preseason, which I think is the more realistic view. You talked about Daniel Falele. He's been at right guard. I've been of the idea that we could see them do some creative things along this offensive line, similar to what we saw last year. We saw them rotating tackles last year. I think all cards are on the table because what they have is what they have. Could you see them doing some different things with this offensive line similar to what they did last season?
Yeah, I think they might have to just because of what they have. I don't know if a rotation is the way to go, but I would certainly think that all options would be on the table. I agree with you there. I think Left guard, Voorhees, as I mentioned, I think he has a pretty firm grip on that spot, especially with what we saw out of him in week one. Roger Rosengarten, certainly the functional strength is an issue. I thought his pass blocking stats were good. The run blocking did leave some stuff to be desired, of course, but I think that was expected with him and kind of the scouting report that we got on him coming out of the college and watching film and everything and even just going about what his skill set is. But that right guard spot, I mean, what do they do there? Because Ben Cleveland is playing center for them right now with Linderbaum out. I think that's another thing to add to his positional versatility. You know, the more you can do on this team, the better. But does he kind of kick back into there? Do they trust Valele enough to give him another opportunity against Atlanta and kind of see how it goes? You could put Patrick McCary there, but I think they want him to be the sixth offensive lineman, so I'm kind of ruling that one out now. Could be Josh Jones, maybe, and you throw a veteran in there, kind of like you did with John Simpson last season. Could he be this year's John Simpson? So we know that Tyler Linderbaum and Ronnie Stanley are entrenched in there. You mentioned that John Harbaugh. Well, it's kind of saying earlier, yeah, it'd be great to have the offensive line figured out now. Again, I think he kind of he walked those back a couple weeks later and said, yeah, obviously there's going to be some competition. But he had said that hopefully in these next couple of weeks they get something there. But it's about, with this offensive line, especially these younger guys, just getting the gel in there, figuring out, you know, what combinations work and making sure that there's continuity heading into week one, because you don't want just a bunch of rotations there when you go to that situation. So that, to me, I think is the important part, is getting everybody up to speed and making sure that they're able to get on the same page.
Now, what was your opinion of Travis Jones? I thought, you know, like he had a nice play early where he had a good bull rush, but after that, I didn't think, you know, he did that much.
Yeah, I thought that whenever I zoned in on him, he was doing okay, but again, he wasn't flashing, I guess is the word I would use, where I think it's kind of like what I talked about with Nate Wiggins earlier, where, you know, that was the performance that we expected because he was going up against not A.J. Brown, not Devonta Smith. For Travis Jones, I agree. He had that play early. I thought there were a couple of other plays where he didn't necessarily get the tackle or was involved in the play, but he was pushing his offensive lineman back, and he was using his strength, and it wasn't really a contest between him and the offensive lineman. But you're right. He didn't, you know, have two sacks. It didn't pop up on the stat sheet, but I think the other part of that, and kind of what you were talking about there, Vinny, is the fact that, you know, he wasn't going up against the Seagulls' top string offensive line. And you're kind of hoping that he can pop more like we saw Nate Wiggins do. And, you know, he's not going to be Baltimore's top defensive lineman this year. But as I know I've said here before, he is my pick for breakout player of the year on this team. So I think that for me, I thought we did see some positives, but it wasn't the dominant performance I think that I was expecting out of him.
We're talking to Kevin Ostreicher from Locked On Ravens and Ravens Wires, Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. Kevin, we've been talking about Rashad Bateman to this point in today's show. Bateman returned to practice yesterday, had to leave early. He's still dealing with some pain issues in his midsection. Do you have any concern about the start of the year for Bateman?
I think a little bit. You know, obviously these are injuries that obviously the Ravens and everybody's like, okay, these aren't going to be, you know, long-term absences. But the point that we were making really throughout the whole offseason is the chemistry between Lamar Jackson and Rashad Bateman is really key here. And, you know, Lamar missed time early with the illness. Now Bateman's missing time here with injury, leaving practice. And, you know, it's not a concern level in terms of, well, he's going to miss the season, but it's concern level of terms of, well, we've kind of been down this path before where Bateman has had to miss time in training camp, and the big question for him was health. And right now those questions aren't being answered. And look, I'm sure it's frustrating for everybody involved, obviously frustrating for Bateman and him not being able to stay on the field. You know, I'm sure the coaching staff is frustrated, not with him, but for him, just him not being able to get out on the field and do his thing. They believe in him, and they've made that very clear over the course of the offseason. So, you know, I'm sure that they want him out there doing his thing, obviously. And then obviously the fan base has another level of frustration where it's, well, you know, this is kind of what the Ravens put their belief in at wide receiver two. They didn't necessarily bring anybody else in. This is the Rashad Bateman show at number two. So what is it going to be? I think Bateman has all the talent in the world. I think that if he can stay healthy, he can display it. But again, that's the question, and he hasn't necessarily been able to stay on the field so far because it's three separate absences, or I guess he's left three separate times with two injuries obviously this last one being the same midsection stuff. So hopefully he's able to shake it, but he has to in order to have a productive season.
Now, Kevin, I tell you what, like every practice I've been out to training camp and stuff, always dominated, you know, and I have my doubts on Owe, and I hope that he can transfer it. But what he's done thus far, he's done extremely well.
And I think that they need him in the biggest way. And I know that we've talked about it here. Where this pass rushing group, you have Kyle Van Noy, who's a steady veteran. Owe, who's expected to take that leap. And again, by all accounts, has looked incredible in camp. But after that, it kind of becomes, well, who's going to step up and be that even just third guy for them? With David Ajabo, Tavius Robinson, Adisa Isaac, Joe Evans, I thought had a nice preseason game on Friday. But always a guy that has been, I guess, productive, but hasn't necessarily taken that big step forward. There were certainly issues over the course of his 3 years so far. He's had to learn some stuff, and he's gone through slumps. But I think he's a player that can slide into that Jadeveon Clowney-type role as the number two guy, and he has to. There's nobody else. And so it seems like he really did a lot of work down in Atlanta, working with guys like Des Walker, the pass rushing specialist. They have Des Walker, the wide receiver, and then Des Walker, the pass rushing specialist, who does great work down in Atlanta. And he went down there. Obviously, Matabike was there. Ajabo was there. And he's been honing his craft. I mean, he's someone who he's really strong. He can set the edge. He can rush the passer. But those are all cans. Will he do it is the question. He's been fine over the course of his career so far. I don't think he's done anything that's like, oh, he's been not good or he's been exceptional right now over the course of his 3 years. But he has to kind of take that, even if it's not a full Justin Matabike leap that we saw last year, this team, because they don't have any other proven options right now, they need him to take a big level step, because if they don't, they might have to look at the free agent market. They might have to look at the trade market, and that's something they would have to consider possibly.
Kevin, great stuff. Appreciate your time this morning. Let the people know how they can follow you and find your work.
Absolutely. Always appreciate it. You can find me over at Locked On Ravens 5 days a week on the podcast there. You can subscribe on YouTube, follow along in audio form, and you can also find me over at the Ravens Wire doing my written content over there, Bleacher Report, and also the Ryan Ripken Show. So a lot of Baltimore sports for me.
Kevin, appreciate you, man. We'll talk again down
thanks,
the line.
Thanks, Kev.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get to the whip around. We'll check in on a couple of these American League East teams. How in the world do the Yankees get blown out to the White Sox? We'll find out next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
To you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes, the best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Well, Sheets comes through. It'll get down and roll down into the wall in left field. Benintendi will score. They'll hold Vaughn at third. The Sox tack on another.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. Coming up at 11:30, we'll be joined by Ryan Ripken, co-host of Baltimore Baseball Tonight, host of the Ryan Ripken Show. Talk some Orioles baseball with him as the Orioles are back home for a two-game set against the Washington Nationals. That audio you just heard courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago. The White Sox, they blow out the Yankees 12-2. That highlight you heard, Gavin Sheets gets the infield single, gets an RBI on that infield single in the bottom of the eighth inning to make the score 12-2. Yankees right now, I mean, a lot of inconsistency from this team, just like we say with the Orioles. But again, this is kind of the league right now. You look around the league, a lot of the teams are losing games. Good teams, that is, are losing games to teams that they shouldn't. They find a way to get back on track. But nobody is kind of pulling away from the bunch these days. As bad as the Orioles have been, they're still tied for the best record in all of baseball.
That's what's crazy, Cordell, is like you said, there's nobody running away with it. Every team, there's not a perfect team. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. You know, every team's dealing with injuries. Every team's dealing with, you know, different things that they're lacking. Like the Orioles, you know, pitching, mm-hmm. you know, and then their bats go dead. So do the Yankees. I mean, you lose 12-2 to the White Sox, you know. So, like you said, everybody's dealing with the same. It's frustrating to the managers, I'm sure.
Let's go out to Boston where the Red Sox have some walk-off magic.
Rep Snyder on a line. Left center field, and that's down. And that's the ball game. Good night from Fenway.
Rep Snyder gets the walk-off hit right there. That audio courtesy of ESPN. Red Sox, they sneak past the Rangers 5-4. This game did go into extra innings. It finished in the 10th inning. Red Sox, another one of those teams right now, still battling it out, trying to hope for a wild card spot. Right now, the Red Sox are two games out of that final wild card spot. They and the Seattle Mariners are both two games out back from Kansas City, who holds the last spot right now at 65-54. The Yankees still at the top of the American League wild card race, obviously only being a half game behind the Orioles in the American League East. The Twins, they're in the second spot in the American League wild card race right now. On the National League side, wild card Arizona and San Diego right now are at the top. Atlanta holds the last wild card spot. The Mets only a game behind Atlanta right now. The Cardinals and the Giants 2.5 games back from the Braves. So we got some tight races here going down to the end. Should make for some really entertaining baseball over the last month and some change. Martavius Bryant, he was signed to the Commanders earlier today. He had the workout with them yesterday. Looks like he joins the roster today. It's been a while since we've heard about Martavius Bryant making any kind of noise in the league, and most of that is his own doing. He gets, you know, suspended. He gets kind of just sent away for a while, and he's gotten it uplifted now. He's back do you feel like he has any, could possibly have anything left? I've got to see how old Martavius Bryant is right now.
Played in 6 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah, I think he's going to be rusty. He's going to be raw. It's a shot in the dark, Cordell.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it moves like this, it's tough for me to really put a lot of stock into. He's 32 years old right now. Yeah. I mean, most receivers that play every year aren't giving you a lot at 32 years old. So it's tough for me to believe that he's going to come in and be able to make a contribution, let alone earn a spot on the team these days. So I'm not really of the mindset that that's going to happen. Also, it looks like Matt LaFleur, he has a quote when he says, I want to vomit, when he was asked about the Packers' number one wide receiver, that saying, I guess they don't have a true number one wide receiver. They have a couple of guys, though. They have guys like Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, Christian Watson, at times Romeo Doubs. They have a lot of different guys that they can get the ball to. But maybe they don't have that one guy. At one point, I think they thought Christian Watson was going to be that guy. Injuries kind of slowed him down.
I picked him for rookie of the year.
Oh yeah, I mean, well, he got off. If he catches that first bomb in that first game against the Vikings, maybe he does.
Yeah.
But that second half of his rookie season was incredible. I don't know if they have a true number one receiver, but in this case, it may not be a bad thing just because there's so many options, and they all last year at least were reliable when they were on the field, that is.
Yeah, they made plays. I mean, would you rather have like three twos or, you know, a one? I've been in both cases. I mean, the 1 year, Cordell, the year we won the NFC East with Norv Turner in 99, we had Michael Westbrook and Albert Connell, and they were 1-2 in the league in average per catch, you know, like at 19 and 20.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we really didn't have a one, but we had two really good ones.
Yeah, reading the quote here from Packers head coach Matt LaFleur says, I want to vomit every time I hear number one wide receiver, to be honest with you. It drives me crazy. That's something that you guys talk about. I feel like we've got a bunch of them. So he feels like all of those guys can play, and rightfully so. I mean, and maybe it's a good thing for a young quarterback like Jordan Love. He's not locking in on any one person. There are multiple guys on the field that he has trust in, and they all do different things. Not all of those receivers can do what Jaden Reed does. You know, he gets handoffs. He does the screen game. Christian Watson, obviously, is the deep threat guy. Romeo Doubs is kind of the stick mover, you know, a reliable third down option. Dontavian Wicks kind of just fits in as he can. But I like that receiving core in Green Bay. I think they could have a sneaky good offense again this year.
Well, you know, it'll be good. It'll be good when the Ravens practice against mm-hmm. them, because it'll be a lot of people to cover.
Yeah.
A lot of good on good. So that'll be good work for the Ravens next week from Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll be joined by Ryan Ripken, co-host of Baltimore Baseball Tonight. He and Tim Barbalace will get you ready for game one against the Nationals tonight. BBT starts at 5:30 right here on The Fan. Ryan Ripken, he joins us next on the Vinny and Haney Show on 105.7 The Fan. Co-host of Baltimore Baseball Tonight, host of the Ryan Ripken Show, is Ryan Ripken himself. Ryan, what's going on?
Cordell, how we doing? Happy Turn It Up Tuesday, man.
Yes, very, very much so. Right now, Orioles back home after this road trip, which felt like it went on forever. They're mm-hmm. back home to take on the Nats in a quick two-game series, Beltway series. And we've been talking recently about, you know, obviously the Orioles right now, they're just an inconsistent baseball team in my eyes. It's, you don't know what you're going to get from these guys on a nightly basis. But you look around the league, it's kind of that way for a lot of these teams, even the really good teams around Major mm-hmm. League Baseball. Does that give you any more comfort when it comes to the Orioles and what they may look like as we continue to approach the postseason?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm saying if the Orioles are playing, you know, average or mediocre, whatever word you want to describe it, I mean, that is Major League Baseball right now in a nutshell, right? I mean, if you go around and look, this is now at this point, there is no clear cut, hey, this team is running away, this team's a clear favorite. You know, and early on we thought, all right, it's the Phillies out in the National League. They were proving themselves. But now you look in the National League standings, the Phillies now are sitting at 69-49 with the Dodgers right there at 69-49 and the Brew Crew. And then in the American League, you know, obviously the Yankees, Orioles, Guardians, all right there. And if I'm not mistaken, Cordell, this is to give context right now, is that the longest winning streak in baseball currently is only 5 games. There's a couple teams, three teams that have 4-game winning streaks, and only one has 5. And it's the one team that I think, Cordell, would be the scariest team to face in the American League because they keep showing up in the ALCS. That's the Houston Astros, winners of 5 straight, and now are right in the thick of this whole, you know, chasing the division and pennant race. So it should be a wild finish.
Hey, Ryan, how does Hyder handle Kimbrel? I mean, you can't give him high-level situations, can you?
No, I mean, that's the hard thing, right? You guys know me. I'm a huge Craig Kimbrel guy, and you saw the moments of just how locked in he was early on. You know, I thought he should have been an all-star. But recently, what's happened over the last 3 weeks, month, you know, it's the inconsistencies. And the bigger thing is, you know, and whether you can say it's age or you say more so it's, you know, the mentality, because for me, it's not even that he's getting hit, it's the walks, you know, and it's the control. And is that because of fatigue? Is that sometimes that you are trying to be too particular with your pitches because you're not throwing 97 like you used to, that sometimes you try to be a little bit too precise? Maybe the body doesn't feel right. But to answer your question, the reality is now, and this was my biggest thing for the Orioles going into the second half of the season, after the trade deadline, is who do you trust in high leverage? Because right now for Craig, you need him down the stretch. Make no mistake, you need Craig Kimbrel to continue to build up that confidence. But right now, he's not one of the guys that you can feel in a tight game, one-run game, that you're going to throw out there. Or if you do, you got to give him a shorter leash than you have. And that's unfortunate, but that's kind of the reality here down the stretch with the Orioles just having so many of these. You know, every game is meaningful in a 162, but right now you're really feeling it as we approach September.
We're talking to Ryan Ripken, who joins us right here on Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Ryan, it's been a different Jackson Holliday since he's been called back up. He's been one of the key bright spots for this lineup here over the last couple of weeks. What are you seeing from him right now, and how optimistic are you that he'll be able to kind of ride this momentum until the end of the season?
Yeah, I mean, I love it. You know, and I actually did a breakdown on the Ryan Ripken show on my channel, so if people are curious. And I know one thing people were talking about, Cordell, was his leg kick. You know, was it a little bit too high before? Mm-hmm. You know, and part of it, you can see there could be a little bit of a change there in how he's standing. Maybe his stance is a little bit wider than it was narrow. But the biggest thing that I've seen from him is approach. You know, and I tell people this, and I try not to sound like a broken record, but if you go and look at the best hitters in baseball, they use the entire part of the field. And I think for Jackson, when you go back and watch so far since he's come back up, he's really showing how polished of a hitter he can be, and the power he has, and the drive, and the exit velocity off the bat, how hard he can hit it to all parts of the field. And once you're able to have that type of approach, then it opens up the door for everything. And I'll give you the example. The Grand Slam was a fantastic moment, and that finally, you know, maybe exercised some demons for Jackson and had him relax. But that was a, you know, slider that he reacted and he pulled the ball. Curveball in Cleveland, reacted, pulled the ball. But most of his balls, even the home runs he's hitting recently, right center and balls up the middle. So I think what he's doing is sustainable, and the fact that he is starting to get this confidence little by little, he's now proved to himself that he can do this at the big league level, and at his age and the pedigree, his talent's going to continue to take over. And if it does, this is already a huge boost to an Orioles lineup that has already a lot of talent.
Hey, Ryan, what do you see when you watch Mayo?
Yeah, I mean, similarly, I think it goes back to a lot of the young players having these expectations come into the bigs where, you know, people love their prospects, right? You know, Baltimore Orioles fans, you love hearing how great these guys are. And for Kobe Mayo, he's proven everything in the minor leagues And so when you get up here, let's just talk about expectation. We know that people said with Kobe, oh, well, you know, he's not up here because of his glove. You know, that's what kind of was people were saying. But they go, oh, because the bat's unbelievable. So then the perception is that he's going to hit the ground running. And then on top of it, Kobe wants to prove that, you know. So that's the expectation and the pressure. Next thing that I'm seeing with Kobe is that initially he seemed a little relaxed, and then he was waiting for that first hit. And now I'm seeing him a little bit jumpy. I'm seeing him pull off the baseball a little bit. So when they've attacked him on pitches away, he's not staying on it, maybe having weaker contact, and I see him pressing. So I'm not worried about Kobe Mayo long term, and it's also hard now when you're not in there every single day. But that's just the nature of being a young player that is trying to find their way in the big leagues, and we've seen that over and over again with young, talented players. Long-term, Kobe's fine. Short-term, just trying to simplify some things. And once he gets that first hit, I really do believe more and more are going to come.
Ryan, as we start to look ahead, and I'm looking pretty far ahead at this point, looking to October, looking at this rotation right now, If it stands the way that it currently is, and I know Grayson is expected to potentially be back in September, we'll see how that goes. But right now, with what's available, is Albert Suarez in your postseason rotation for you right now, or are you going to go with one of these other veterans on the team?
I think it is going to be Albert. And if he's starting the postseason, we really do need to lock down a name for Albert, you know, playoffs. But seriously, Albert Suarez, it's not a feel-good story anymore. It's not that this is tremendous and, oh, wow, this is a surprise. The reality is he's a huge part of this team. He's a huge part of this rotation, or when he has to go to the bullpen. But when you're looking at this, and let's not count on Grayson here, right? Because we don't know. Mm-hmm. You hope he's back, you don't know. You got to go with, obviously, Corbin Burns in game one, Zach Eflin. I mean, we talked about it, or I've talked about it a lot on the show, definitely on the call-ins. You were looking for last year's Jordan Montgomery at this deadline. That looks like Zach Eflin right now. So he'd be game two, and Albert Suarez would be game three. It's just a guy that doesn't seem to be wavered. Hey, Grayson's hurt. Albert, we need you to pitch. Okay, I got you. All right, Albert, we need you to go to the bullpen. I got you. You know, it's a guy that's a veteran that has confidence in himself and is not wavered by the moment. So I think right now those would be the three. But we got so much time until playoffs to figure all that out. But it is a fun discussion here. And it's going to be a wild ride until we get to October.
Hey, Ryan, you know, with the four-game series against Boston coming up, in Boston, what, seven games out? I mean, the Orioles could put Boston kind of out of commission, you know, for any competition with, you know, the Orioles or the Yankees, or the Red Sox can get back in it real tight.
Oh, yeah. Depending on how the series goes, I mean, if you're Boston, you know, you need to win three or four.
No doubt.
You know, at least in this case. You split it, you're still staying back. That's a hard amount to make up. Now, could any team make it up? Sure. But the other thing for Boston, they're reeling right now. You know, they are a team that struggled. Yeah, they got a win last night, but they're 5-5 over the last 10 games. They are now two games out of a wild card spot. And then the whole situation with Jaren Duran, you have one of your best players that has to serve a suspension. Yeah, granted, it's two games, but Boston's going to have to press a little bit more. There's a little bit more urgency. And for the Orioles, though, they feel like they have Boston's number too. So this is a chance for the Orioles, no doubt, to be able to really assert your dominance once again on Boston. And if you do that, now you're just looking at, all right, in this East, us and the Yankees, but can't sleep on Boston, a team that's going to be desperate and is going to continue to fight for their playoff lives over the next, you know, 5 or 6 weeks.
Ryan, how can people check out the Ryan Ripken Show?
All right, Ryan Ripken Show, we do it on YouTube. Everything I do is on the YouTube channel, just at Ryan Ripken Media. I do the breakdowns on there as well. Do it on X at Ryan Ripken as well. And on X too. You got questions. You guys know I love to answer it and engage with whoever has any baseball thoughts. So catch me over there, and I'll see you guys maybe down at the stadium for Baltimore baseball tonight.
Yep, we'll definitely hear you tonight, you and Tim Barbalace. And yeah, you might catch us at Pickles on the back end of the week with the Red Sox and the Nationals in town for the next couple of days. Ryan, appreciate your time.
Thanks, Ryan.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. Yep.
You too. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll take a trip through the Funhouse with Quick Draw McGraw, that is, and then get you some news from the Nest at noon. That's next here on The Fan.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Let's see. We'll start here with a text from Chris talking Ravens, the O-line. He says here, might think differently later in the year, but for now, it seems like it was a big miscalculation letting Kevin Zeitler walk in free agency. He would have settled a lot of the right side concerns we have right now.
Yeah, for a year, probably. I guess they thought a young guy, you know, that they could get cheaper. And the thing with Zeitler is what did he get in Detroit, like $6 million?
Not a lot, yeah.
I think the Ravens had a price that they had in mind for him, and anything above that, they told him go check out, you know, the market. And the market for him was $6 million, and that was, and same with Clowney, it was above what they wanted, and they weren't going to pay it. So would they have been better for 1 year? Probably so, but for the long haul, we'll see. I mean, if it looks like Falele is the guy. I mean, he takes all the reps. He's taken every rep at number one for a long time now. So we'll see. We'll see how it works. The only thing concerns me, Norm, about Falele is his footwork is bad.
Let's see. Moving on to the Orioles. This texter here says, great chance for the O's to get fully back on track this week. You're coming off a series win against the Rays. You gain a half game on your day off, then a beatable Nats team comes to town, plus a chance to put the Red Sox fully to bed over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, they're back at home against inferior teams. The Nationals, they give the Orioles a fight, though. The Nats are one of those teams that know how to hang around. They score runs late, so, you know, the Orioles are going to have to play a full nine-inning game. If they're prepared for that, they should be fine. They're the better team. Speaking of the Orioles, we got word here recently that we'll have the August 25th game against Houston on the station. We'll have the ESPN radio feed. Remember, that's the game that got flexed to Sunday Night Baseball against the Astros on August 25th. So you'll be able to hear that game right here on The Fan.
And another one here on the Orioles, this texter says, the O's have a lot more to be concerned about rather than be excited about right now. I think that's why the fan base isn't willing to act like they're truly a first-place team. Injury concerns, very real, as well as bullpen concerns and inconsistent offense. If they don't hit home runs, they just don't win.
It's tough for me not to agree with that text wholeheartedly. I mean, if you look at it, just look at the Orioles team right now. Yeah, there are more concerns than there are things that we're, you know, excited about regarding this team. The things that they do well, they're not doing well on a consistent basis these days. So the injury things are real, like they said. And the problem with the injury stuff is there's nobody left in the cupboard. Like there's nothing left. They've used all their options. And some of these options that they still have, we've seen that movie before. I don't know how many of us want to see it again. And even some of these guys we're relying on to come back, they're not coming back until the last month of the season. There's just no room for a setback. There's no room for them trying to work their way back. It's going to be tough for sure. Yeah, I think that the Orioles are still a really good team. I think the positive is that, like we've been saying, there's no solidified best team in baseball right now. A lot of the power rankings still have the Orioles at the top. So not that that wins you anything, but just goes to say that despite them being one of the more inconsistent teams in baseball here recently, they're still arguably the best team in the league. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get you some news from the Nest. We'll hear from John Harbaugh, hear from Kyle Van Noy, hear from Chuck Smith. That's next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.